Hello there, Salim Omar here from CPM Marketing Genius, bringing you another episode of the CPM Marketing Genius podcast. We've got a special guest for us. His name is Charles Reed. Charles, welcome.
Salim, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, great to have you. Charles is a CPA like you and me. He's got a few other credentials. He's a U.S. Tax Court practitioner. He's a member of the Internal Revenue Service Advisory Council and the founder of Get Payroll, providing payroll services to businesses, accounting firms, working with accounting firms since 1991. And I'm going to just bring it back to Charles and ask him to share with us his backstory. Charles, tell us a little bit about what brings you to today.
Well, I'm a Midwestern boy. I grew up in Iowa. After high school, I wasn't ready for college. I joined the United States Marine Corps. Spent 4 years in service, 2 years overseas, combat tour in Vietnam. Came back, was stationed in Kansas City. Met my wife, Ruth. Married her. She had 5 kids when I married her. I claim insanity. But we were married for 45 years before she passed. Discovered that people didn't value my military experience, so I went to college, got my BBA, my MBA, sat for and passed my exam on the first sitting while I was still in graduate school. Went to work for Texas Instruments. Spent 15 years in the corporate world, large corporations, small corporations, turnarounds, startups, other things. A lot of great experience. Realized I was never going to get to the top of a corporation because I did not have the political skills. I was unwilling to stab people in the back and toss them off the ladder. So if I was going to have a business to run, I'd have to start my own like my father did. So 30 some odd years ago, Ruth and I started our business. It was a mobile accounting service with a payroll subset. Grew in over the years, sold off the accounting to my partner that I'd taken on here about 10 years ago. And now I just run payroll. I don't do taxes anymore, except for myself and a couple of friends. I don't take on any new clients. I don't want to anymore.
Yeah.
And so we handle payroll for small and medium-sized businesses around the country in all 50 states. We handle other ancillary payroll things. We help our clients with HR and workers' comp and timekeeping, these kinds of things, benefits and so on, that are closely payroll related. We don't do accounting. We leave that to other CPAs anymore. We're just not, that's not our shtick anymore. That's how we got to where we're at.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I tell you, Charles, your story resonates with me. And I think it resonates with a lot of our listeners that we were in corporate America and something we were not happy with. And we said, you know what? I'm going to start my own thing. Right. And we
Absolutely.
Do. And of course, there's highs and there's lows. But overall, it's a great decision that one makes. Now, you were drawn to payroll and not accounting services very quickly. Was there like something obvious why you went in that direction and not saying, you know what, I want to grow my accounting firm?
Well, I grew both for a while, but it became obvious that from a professional viewpoint, we all know we can't do everything. We can't be an expert in all areas of accounting, all areas of tax. We have to specialize. And as I brought a partner in, he was a tax expert, more so than me, even though I'd been in it for years. He was an ex-IRS agent. So that was really his interest. So he took over the taxes and the bookkeeping, and I kind of shifted to handling more and more of the payroll and employment tax aspects, going get my U.S. Tax Court practitioner's license, my bar card with the tax court, so I could represent clients in tax court. And we do that as a matter of our service for our clients. The only cost to them is the $60 for the filing the petition. Gives us a second bite at the apple. So I moved that direction and I enjoyed payroll. I enjoyed working with it, enjoyed working with the clients. It got me away from retail tax, which I never really enjoyed. And so I'm working only with business to business. And so that's just my thing. And he liked the tax aspect of it and not the individual tax and the doctors and the lawyers and we used to have a prophet that was a client. And so he still offices with me. But we separated the companies and he handles all that. I leave it to him and I handle just the payroll because it was something I enjoyed doing and I enjoyed the payroll clients more than I enjoyed the tax clients.
Yeah. And now you work with, I believe, thousands of businesses across the yes. country?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a full staff that handles all that. They don't let me do payroll anymore.
I'm glad.
I'm glad. Me too.
You're talking to me and not behind the desk running payrolls.
Exactly.
On a Friday afternoon.
Exactly. And they are. But I've got a great staff. Most have been with me quite a while now. Our turnover is basically non-existent in terms of employees. And frankly, in terms of clients, our turnover is so superior to our competitors, it's not even funny.
So you talk about competitors. I mean, you know, the listener, you know, watching, listening this, you know, ADP, Paychex, Gusto, right? What's your unique advantage or unique difference, unique value proposition, Charles, compared to what we know that's out there?
Compliance. If your client has a problem, they can't talk to most of their payroll companies. They don't have CPAs you can talk to. You call ADP, Paychex, Gusto, and say, I need to talk to a CPA about a tax problem I'm having with my employment taxes. They'll tell you to talk to your own CPA. They don't have them available. ADP has a whole floor of CPAs that do their internal accounting, but they don't talk to clients. They will not take any professional responsibility for the client's payroll. We do. I'm a CPA. I take a 2848 on every client. So I can advocate for my clients with the Internal Revenue Service and with the states and so on. Because when there's a problem, I need to know about it and I need to be able to solve it for my clients. You and I and your listeners understand that the IRS cannot penalize you for a simple mistake. They do all the time. So it's a matter of fighting that and appealing it over and over and over until you get the right answer and you win. And these things can take, you know, 9 years sometimes. I've seen them take that long to solve. So our compliance is our unique selling proposition. We're insurance for your payroll. You may never need us. But in fiscal 19, the IRS issued $13 billion of employment tax penalties. Now, several billion got abated. Several billion more should have gotten abated because they were IRS errors. We all know, being in the profession, the IRS makes mistakes all the time. All the time, all the time, all the time. And they'll never admit it. So we solve those problems that our clients can't solve on their own because they don't know how. They don't know what they don't know. Sending a client to talk to the IRS is, you know, like sending a sheep to a wolf conference. They're not going to survive. So that's what we do. Now, a client may never need that skill set, but if they do, we're there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And you work with CPA firms as well.
Oh, yeah.
So that becomes something they can have you do instead of it taking their time, right?
We both have a referral system where they can refer clients to us and we'll take care of only their payroll. Or we have a white label system where it appears that the CPA's firm is doing it, but we're their back office and handle everything and handle all the compliance issues that may arise. And of course, we guarantee all that service. So if there's ever a problem, we fix it or we screw up, we pay it. I won't say we're perfect. We try pretty damn hard, but, you know, things happen. So we just take care of our clients. We've been over backwards. It's the way I was raised. Customer service is first.
That's awesome. Now, you have grown your payroll company in quite a big way, from 1K to seven figures. What have been some of the things that have led to that growth?
In the beginning, it was word of mouth and referrals and so on. I thought I could market. Well, I finally got big enough that here a few years ago, I hired a marketing person to come in and handle the marketing because I was busy with other things. And I realized in about 2 weeks that I can't market my way out of a paper bag. I'm a typical CPA. I think I know a lot of things and some of the things I don't know. And marketing was one of them. And that's helped us in the last few years substantially by having professional marketing staff. I've got three people in my marketing. I've got my client development, my salesperson. I've got a marketing director who oversees everything and does all the planning. And I've got a videographer, Michael, who handles all the technical aspects, writes a lot of the scripts, shoots all of our videos. We shoot both educational and fun videos. You can find us on YouTube. We've done up some parodies, a Godfather parody. We've done up Christmas things, and we have fun with those. Plus a lot of, you know, the most recent one was statutory and non-statutory employees and so on, educational videos for our clients and for the general public. And the other thing that's helped, my book, published this just over a year ago with Wiley, the payroll book, a guide for small businesses and startups. It's 30 years of wisdom distilled down to 95,000 words. And using Wiley made it a much, much better book because they brought in professional editing, design, production, and the marketing of it and so on. So it's available on Amazon. But Salim, for your listeners, if any of them would like a copy of the book, if they'll go to thepayrollbook.com, enter the discount code podcast, we'll ship them a free book.
Thank you. That's generous of you. And we'll have the links of the URLs that you just mentioned in the show notes as well. So we'll make sure we include that in.
We've got a supply, and as long as there's books here, we'll ship them free of charge.
That's awesome. Yeah. And so you invested in a marketing team. You had the vision, the foresight, Charles, to recognize the skill set that you did not have. You had all the other skill sets, but marketing wasn't one of them. And so what you did, and this is my advice to any entrepreneur or practice owner, is right, you know your strengths and weaknesses, right? And the areas that you don't like doing or you don't, you know, you're not good at, you know, fill it in with the right help. So you brought in marketing help, and they've helped you grow your business, you know, quite tremendously over the last decade or so, right? Especially in the last decade.
Absolutely. It has been absolutely invaluable. I think that's my biggest mistake, is that I didn't do that a lot sooner. If I were to go back and do it from scratch, I'd hire marketing in if I could afford it day one. And if I couldn't, the first day I could afford it, I would. And we'd be a lot bigger today than we are. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Actually, that was kind of segueing into my next question was, and you mentioned one of the things you would do if you were to redo it, if you were to restart your business, you would bring marketing earlier on. Perhaps share with us a couple other things that you would do or mistakes you made that you would do, you know, in a different way, things you would do in a different way.
Well, obviously, the marketing is the biggest one. We had some successes. I had some failures in how I marketed, and they weren't, you know, they didn't work. We got into the net fairly early, and I wish I had pushed harder in it, because we're a national firm and the internet allowed us to be national. So I wish I'd gone much harder in that much earlier, because that kind of spread, I mean, with technology as it changed, day one, it probably wouldn't have worked. But by the late 90s, with technology and fax machines then, and obviously now internet and emails and so on, I can handle payroll or, you know, as many of your listeners do, accounting for clients no matter where they're at. Before I sold off my accounting practice to my partner, you know, we had people scattered all over the country. They moved, but they wanted their CPA. So, you know, we had them in California, and we're in Texas. We had them in California and Hilton Head and Illinois and Florida as people moved and retired and changed and so on. So I would have invested in that marketing aspect sooner to have broadened my market, as well as brought in professionals, gotten into the video aspects earlier. We've moved into them, we're heavy into them now, but I've moved into that earlier. I wrote several books. I wish I'd written several more, because this one is my business card now. I keep a box in my trunk, and I'm always ready to hand one out, because if somebody's interested enough to want a copy of it, they're potentially a payroll client, or they know somebody that's a payroll client. You know, we handed one
that's
out.
Smart.
We sent one to every one of my Rotary Club members, and we picked up kids and friends from them, as well as a few of my fellow Rotarians, their business. So it's a matter of, I wish I'd put more emphasis on the marketing sooner, and that would have been desirable.
Have you seen yourself get clearer on who your niche is, who your ideal client is?
Absolutely. In the very beginning, you'll take anybody that you think might pay you, okay? The first year I did taxes, I had three clients that took their returns and didn't pay me. my wife made sure that the second year that nobody took a tax return without leaving a check at least. Okay, so we learned from that. And we wanted bigger clients, and I realized that our niche is really the 50 and under employees. We don't go after the big firms. Our competitors do, and they're welcome to them. In many cases, they're more trouble than they're worth. Now, we have a few big ones that we've grown internally or picked up here and there, but we really market to the under 50 and really the under 25 market. We love that market. We get those clients. They come in. They literally stay forever. And if they sell off the business to somebody else, we normally pick up the new owner. And so it's just, you know, it's money over the transom. It just, the payroll runs every week or 2 weeks, literally forever. I mean, we've got clients that have been with us more than 30 years now. And we've got some that it's still the same business, but it's on the second and sometimes third owner. So we love it. We love small business. ADP can have everybody over 100. They're welcome to them. We'll take everybody under 50. Okay. So it's about 5 million businesses. So it's not right. Like I'm hurting.
That's a huge market there. That's, exactly. Yeah, for sure. Well, I really like that. The clarity you have, you know, what you shared earlier, compliance, number one. And then now it's, you know, the size of the business. You're not looking for the larger ones. It's under 50. No. That's your sweet spot. Yep. Charles, this has been so good. Thanks for sharing this information. And I'm looking at the clock and we're really nearing the end of our time. A couple of things. Anything, any final words of wisdom? A question perhaps that I should have asked you that I didn't.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things, but in any business, I've been at this 30 years and things change and it grows, but it's one I stole from Bill Gates. People will overestimate what they can accomplish in a year and underestimate what they can accomplish in a decade. It's a marathon. Business is not a sprint. You're probably never going to be Jeff Bezos. Just live with that, okay? You're probably never going to be worth $100 billion.
And you may not want to.
Well, I wouldn't mind the money, but I wouldn't want the problems. But over the long term, you could build a wonderful business with a great staff. You're taking care of people. You're taking care of your family. You know, the long term is, you got to look at the long term. And it's amazing what you can do in the long term.
Yeah, I love that, those words of wisdom. It happens to be a reminder that I share with CPA practice owners as well. That same line, that similar line that you shared. It is a marathon, not a sprint. So I appreciate you reminding us about that, because it's easy to forget it. And, you know, we live in the world of instant gratification. It's the next minute, the next hour, the next week, and we don't get the results. And it's like, oh, this is not working. And it's sometimes success is just around the corner, right?
Yep.
Very nice. If listeners want to reach out to you, share with us, you mentioned the book again, how did they get it? And perhaps your contact information, if you're willing to share that.
Sure. We're obviously Get Payroll and www.getpayroll.com on the web. My personal email is cjr@getpayroll.com. They can reach me if they've got any questions or any information that they want from me. I'm more than happy to do that. I love to help people. The book is available at thepayrollbook.com with the discount code podcast. And if they're interested in either referring clients to us or in white labeling for their clients, please give me a call. My phone number is 972-353-0000. Ask for Charles.
Oh, wow. That's being really available and accessible. Appreciate that. None of my podcast guests have given their phone numbers. So this is pretty amazing. Good stuff. Charles, appreciate you sharing the information, you giving us your time today. And this was a great interview. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Salim, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the CPA Marketing Genius podcast. If you'd like to hear more episodes, you can find them at cpamarketinggenius.simplecast.com or on your favorite podcast directory. Don't forget to like and subscribe. If you want to learn more about Salim and CPA Marketing Genius, please visit cpamarketinggenius.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time on the CPA Marketing Genius podcast.